You get the feeling that people are vindictive around here? Gonna get even?
Yeah.
Do it to me, I'm gonna do it to you.
Yeah.
Is your mic on?
No, it's not, for purpose.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't wanna be too humorous with the mic on.
Yeah.
I'm not that humorous anyways, but... I don't know how you are about doing things, but it's very easy to wanna decide to do something under your own power. Or pastor said, well, I'm glad he reminded me it was gonna be today. You know, I know it's the first of the month, but it really got off to a big start. And if you're worried, just remember, I had to follow the pastor that's been a pastor for almost 40 years in one church. So I can't match that. About all I could claim was I've been a farmer for a long time. So, but farming is a good training position to understand the Word of God. And a lot of the Bible is based on agriculture. Anyways, in the process of trying to decide what I was going to do, one of the things that I thought about, things that were going on this past year involving deacons and things like that, was maybe I could do something in conjunction with that. And we've been reading at home in the morning a Bible study by Charles Spurgeon. And it was excellent. About last week we read this one, and I said, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to do this instead. It's the first day of the year, and I'm amazed at what I'm going to use if it comes out all right. Follow right along with what Pastor Haynes spoke about this morning. Many little pieces you will see. I hope there's continuity. I'm not a professional pastor. I get to get evaluated by two of them here, so if you want to know what it feels like, volunteer, we'll let you try. Anyways, the last time that I spoke, the key verse that I used was Isaiah 40, verse 8. You don't have to look it up. And that was, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And I want to key just a quick second on this word, the term word. We know that the Bible is the Word of God. We call it the Word. We know that Jesus is called the Word. But one of the things that also that I have thought about with the term Word is, we use the term Word as a promise. I give you my word that I'm going to do something. So if you think about this, the first part of the verse is just our basic lot in life. We wither and we fade away. But the latter part of that verse is, the word or the promise of our God shall stand forever. A promise. Let's all bow for a word of prayer now. Heavenly Father, we truly have been blessed that first and foremost that you decided to create us. But you didn't leave us in the state of sin that so easily besets each one of us. Lord, you chose to provide a perfect way for us to have salvation if we will just acknowledge our sinful ways and truly accept your plan, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go through this new year, help us to look at how we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but also what is our relationship. Many make New Year's resolutions. There are many things that we can improve on. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of this study that Spurgeon had, one of the key verses was Matthew 20, verse 8. Call the laborers and give them their hire. Now, part of the reason this pricked me to use this was there is one word that shows up regularly through this, and it's the simple word of joy. We're starting a new year. We're starting over. Now, there are many things in life where we start over. If you get saved, you're born again, you start over. You may have, for whatever reason, have to start over on a different job. If your kids are in school, you go to a different class. You start over. It's a process of learning, no matter whether to your youngest or to the oldest. We all start over. But how well do we do it? Do we have joy? Now, Spurgeon, of course, as I believe, wrote in the 1800s, right? So I'm going to read some of this the way it is, some of it I'm going to skip. But you're going to find this is a little bit of older type English, and we like everything contemporary now. God is a good employer. He pays his servants while they work as well as when they finish working. Now you think about that. We always are conditioned. We do a job, we get paid. Do you ever get paid along? Well, if you follow this and think, you will see where he's going. One of his payments is an easy conscience. Is it nice having an easy conscience? If you have spoken faithfully of Jesus to one person, when you go to bed at night, you feel happy and thinking, today I have discharged my conscience of that man's blood. Now, remember what Pastor Haynes said today about that boy talking about, I didn't witness to somebody, he got out of bed and went down the road. There's one point. There is great comfort in doing something for Jesus. If you serve in the church, no matter whether it's talking to somebody at the door or whether you come and you vacuum the floor or occasionally you get to speak or you teach a Sunday school class, isn't it a joy knowing you can serve the Lord in that simple way, in a way that he gave you that talent and ability? There is also a great reward in watching, and this is Sunday school teachers, the first budding of conviction in a soul. To say of a girl in your class, she is tender-hearted. I hope that she is her sensitivity reflects the Lord's work within. Or maybe the teacher might say, pray over the boy who has said something that made you think he must know more of a divine truth than you feared. Do you ever wonder, what are your students thinking? Oh, that's the joy of hope. Hope that your time spent amounts to something in Sunday school. Remember, God's word never goes away void. It's going to touch somebody's heart some way. As for the joy of success, it is unspeakable. We all do different things, isn't it? Doesn't it make you happy if things go right? You know, we have a pianist that plays. I'm sure there are days that you say, boy, it went good today, and then it felt like it was all thumbs. Or there are days when I go to the barn, I'm just glad it was over. We all go through that. Pastors, and I'm for a pastor to stay in a church 38 years, to me, is marvelous. Yes, very few have that kind of courage. And if he would tell you the truth, he had a lot of rocky spots along the road. But he stayed the course. He saw the joy of it all. And that's a reward. And that God, this is the reward that God gives each one of us, this joy of knowing I did something that was worthwhile. To be a soul winner is the happiest thing in the world. What does it mean to you if you were able to lead somebody to the Lord? You know, I go to work, I farm. At the end of the day, the cows got fed. That's nice. Maybe I made some money along the way. Maybe I lost some money along the way. But when someone gets saved, you know that you've saved that person from an eternity in hell. They have an opportunity to start over. They have the opportunity to, like, couple them back with what they share. They have the opportunity to share their lives as to what God meant to them. That's a joy, isn't it? You have a testimony. Many of us have testimonies.
Yep.
Oh, how sweet is that sentence, and this is Matthew 25:21. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What does that mean, the joy of the Lord? When we stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all will, one way or another, if a person isn't saved, they're going to see the Lord at the judgment seat where he's going to render a verdict. You already made the decision by rejecting Christ. You're going to be in hell. You made that choice. God didn't make it for you. You made it. Now, for those that have accepted Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. We're not going to be judged for our sins. But we are going to get judged for what we did for the Lord. How well did we use the talents and abilities that he gave us? And that's why I look to the parable. What's coming to mind is seed and the sower, and that's not exactly the one I want. The talents. The parable of the talents. Of the person that used much and the five, and they were doubled. The person with two, if I'm getting the numbers right, that were doubled. We don't want to be the person that got into heaven, had talent, and buried it. That is not going to be a very joyful time when you stand in front of the Lord and say, I should have. I'm sorry, I didn't want to say that to my family member or a friend. This is the very joy that we are to possess in heaven. Possession is something that we hold on to. We're going to have joy in heaven. There won't be regrets. Another example is you have toiled with him. You have suffered with him. Now you reign with him. You have sown with him. You will reap with him. Your face was covered with sweat like his. Your soul was grieved as his soul was, for the sins of men. Now your face will be bright with heaven's splendor, as is his countenance. And your soul will be filled with, again, blissful joy, even as his soul is. His soul. Read it right. We're going into a new year. A new year means many things. Resolutions, some kept, some failed. I don't know about the rest of you. We get a lot of these in the catalog, mail now. What does this mean? To me as a farmer, it is a time to start over. This last year for me was a disaster. We had a severe drought. I lost, I figured, between a third and a half of our forage that I should have had. That meant I lost a lot of milk production. It's going to be a hard winter. But I've been through this, seen this before, and as I say, you know, there are times when farming that one year you have a blessing and the barn is full to the rafters and you wonder where you're going to put it. And then you'll have a year of leanness and you are literally sweeping the floor hoping the green grass comes soon. That's if you pasture cows anymore, and most don't. But the point is, grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Okay, I want you to open up to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is a parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now this is mentioned about in Revelation. And I guess you stay where you're at. I'll switch to Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That is joy. This is us looking for the day of the Lord's return. This is the church who is the wife. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Fine linen. You know, many times in life as Christians, we think, oh, we've got to be dreary or drab of what we wear to church or something. This is talking about fine linen. This is how much God prizes the believers. They are a fine linen of something that you can't put a value on. And if you look at the example of the tabernacle that they used to move through the wilderness and what went into the tabernacle and the value that was there, it is unbelievable. Yes, we can't comprehend the quality of the material that went in. We really live in a day and age that's cheap. And I'm amazed, living in Rushford, we have older houses in town. And it's for those that are a carpenter or do carpentry, you look at the ornate sculpting around the eaves and the kind of condition of the flooring in the houses. What are houses now? They're cheap. Very little craftsmanship. We've lost the value, and I think that's the way society has gone. We're losing the value of God, and society is degrading. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are true sayings of God. He's challenging John to write it down, record this. This is important. I want you to pay attention. And a true saying, it's not a fable. It's not something that's made up. You can count and trust in what's in the Word of God. If God says he's going to do it, he will do it. It's not always on our timetable, but he will do it. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not? And that's a question. I am thy fellow servant and of my brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, or the intent of prophecy. And in preparation for some of this, I was looking up at prophecy, things that are going to happen. We are starting a new year. We are looking forward to things that are going to happen. Are we watchmen that we are watching what God is doing? The thing that struck me with the term joy is we've just been through one of the most horrendous political seasons that has existed. It's gone on before, yeah. I'm sure. Time, man repeats himself. But this has been one of the nastiest times that I can remember. And it's very common to say people aren't very joyous, they're unhappy, they're miserable. And it's really all out there. We are starting over a new year, and we should start the year out with joy. But we have something to look forward to. If we study prophecy, we know what God is going to do. We just don't know when. We know a lot that's done. We know there isn't much left, if anything, to be completed. That should be a joy in our heart that this time on this earth is going to be over, maybe very soon. Could be this week, it could be this afternoon, it could be a few more years. We don't know. But we should be, as Christians, looking forward to this with anticipation.
Yes.
Revelation 21, 2 through 8. Says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall prosper, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, in other words, this is an emphasis, write, for these words are true and faithful. There is a warning right at the very end, the last verse, that was verse 5. The warning comes in verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I looked up brimstone because I thought, well, that's sulfur, and that's what it is, sulfur. And for those that remember in science class, sulfur is something they keep in an airtight jar. The minute you take the top off, it starts to heat and gets very hot. Sulfur is yellow, but sulfur is made up, is called brimstone. It burns with a blue flame, not yellow, a blue flame, and it has a suffocating odor. Now, do you want to be, anybody ever work around a propane torch? When you got a blue flame, you got a hot flame, don't you? You don't want to put your hand in that flame. Suffocating odor. Just a simple warning. Do you want to be in hell? Where there's forever a burning and a suffocating odor. And I relayed a story with farming years ago. I had a tractor that some insulation under the hood dropped down on the manifold and it caught fire. And I got out of the tractor quick and rather foolishly, but I didn't want the tractor burned up. I reached up in to start pawing this stuff out. And it had gone from a thick foam to a black liquid. And when I pulled that out, I got that on my hand. It gave me a new meaning to what it would feel like to be sulfur burning. I went to the house, which was thankfully was right across the road. My wife says, you gotta put cold water on it. It hurt like crazy. It already hurt like crazy. But sulfur, can you imagine being in hell where this pain does not go away? And that is exactly what it felt like. Trying to get the pain to stop with that burn. It just got the nerves and it just ate and ate and ate. I can't imagine what it would be to be in hell. Some say maybe in this day and age we need to preach a little more hell and brimstone. A warning. That was one of the things under the prophecy that I read, talking about the time of the Lord coming. What is going to happen? Okay, we'll switch back over to chapter 25, moving on through that on chapter verse 2 of Matthew 25, verse 2. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. What good's an oil lamp without oil? Nothing. And I drive 305 to go home sometimes at night, and you see all the Amish windows lit up with oil lamps. I'll bet they don't let their lamps get out of oil. But there's an important message to be learned here. Verse 5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, truthfully, doesn't that sound like society today?
Yes,
and some of us? There's a plan of salvation out there. There's a means to be saved. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It's free. But too many people out there are slumbering and sleeping. And this goes along with a little of Pastor Haynes' message today. You know, it's like, not right now. I got a, in the back of my Bible, I have a spot. There are almost 60 excuses that people use to not be saved. And sometime maybe I'll share those. Or if you want to see them, I'll show them to you. You've heard a lot of them. What are people doing? Not right now. I got things I'd rather do. Again, prophecy warns being prepared. The day of the Lord is close at hand. We look at, and if you don't doubt it, look at society. What is tolerated now? And in verse 6 it says, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. This is a shout that we as Christians should hear. The bridegroom is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Come out and see him. We're going to be taken up. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now, to trim a lamp means you run the wick up and it's lit. And it's a good bright light so you can see to walk in the dark. It's midnight. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. What do you think the foolish people are going to say when the Lord comes? Oh, I can't see it. Where is he? I want to go with him. And yet they are not prepared. The very simple, basic thing. Realize your situation. You know, we celebrated communion today. The Bible's very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But the blood has to be applied just as in the Old Testament at the Passover. It did you no good to have the blood and not put it on the doorpost where God said, I want it there.
That's right.
He's very specific. We are without excuse. They were without excuse that they didn't listen. Because the death angel was going to pass over in the night. So a lot of similarities here. Many people in society right now are making that same mistake. I'll wait. It's not that important. I don't believe them. This is just fictitious fables. Again, back to politics. I've never seen so many lies perpetrated as truth. And it's pathetic. Verse 9 says, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Go to the store. Now remember, the bridegroom was come. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And I was interesting your comment about the doorknobs on the inside. You have to open the door and willingly let Jesus Christ come in. If you don't, let me in. Come on, time's running out. Let me in. I'm not ready yet. Afterwards came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That's the time that we live in. Our task or assignment of as a church is to proclaim the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. There are so many gospels that are being preached out there. We saw it all through the political season. We have the one true gospel. And there is no other name under heaven to which a man or woman can be saved by, Jesus Christ. It is not a game. And I have known of people that said, well, I'll put it off. And I know of one example. She was in her late 50s, and she'd always wanted a motorcycle. And the family got her a motorcycle, and she and her husband went out for a ride on her birthday. And they didn't get too far down the road, and she hit some loose stone, hit the guardrails, and was killed instantly. You say, well, I can put it off. You don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
When Jane had her surgery here on the 9th of December, when we went to Olean, we had to leave at 6 in the morning. The roads were not bad on our end, but the Olean end was horrible. I mean, when you got 8-10 inches of snow on the road and it hasn't been plowed, that's not good. I had to get her the next day. It was reversed. I ran into Cuba to run home. The roads were horrible. And I was driving 30 miles an hour, and I had no comfort that I could stop. In fact, when I turned onto our road, I had given due warning to the cars behind me for 200 yards that I was going to turn because they were driving too fast. So when I went into the turn, I tried to catch a little bit of the bank to slow me down. I was going 20 miles an hour or less. I slid right across the road, the car didn't turn, and I dropped over the edge of the ditch. It was over just like that. That's the way it is with life. I didn't plan on that little trip to the ditch. I didn't plan on the icy roads, but I don't like seeing cars in the ditch. And I appreciate Bob tremendously as a trucker. I can't imagine what he goes through driving out west. I think he's probably glad, or maybe his wife's glad, he's home this year. Because it's been pretty bad out west with the snow. Slippery roads are crazy. People are getting smarter, they're slowing down. But are they slowing down to consider Jesus Christ? I got, depending on which you read, I think our time is about like Vietnam. We're about 10-2. Yeah. So I think I've said enough. I hope that's a challenge that this coming year, consider where you are. If you're a Christian, desire to do better for the Lord that you can get selfishly a promise. Or if you're not saved, in any doubt, talk with us. We don't want to see you spend an eternity in hell and fire and brimstone.
Right.
We just don't. So.
Well, that deserves a song and a closing. That's very good, brother. It really was.
Amen. Hey, nice full name, brother.